إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this, which is our 36th session or 36th lecture, in our series of lectures from the topic entitled Character and Manners in the Sunnah, the hadith that we want to discuss tonight is the 37th hadith in our series of hadith from Bulugh al-Maram, Ma'al Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, the final chapter of that book, Kitab al-Jami', and it's the third sub-chapter, Al-Zuhud wal-Wara'. And the hadith that we want to discuss tonight is a very brief hadith, and the explanation of it is not too lengthy. Very important hadith, a hadith that, inshallah, everyone is capable of memorizing. And definitely, I encourage, as always, but with extra emphasis, I encourage that everyone should attempt to memorize this hadith. If you find it impossible to memorize in Arabic, then at least memorize it in English. The hadith is the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, رضي الله عنه. May Allah be pleased with him. He said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله يحب العبد التقي الغني الخفي. أخرجه مسلم. Small hadith, mashallah. In the amount of words, but in meaning, subhanallah, عظيم. إن الله يحب العبد التقي الغني الخفي. Hadith reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. This hadith deals with a few of the very important characteristics or qualities that if a person has them, Allah will love that person. Last week we talked about the hadith, which we'll go back to now in our quick review, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah." That if you practice zuhud, abstain from the dunya, Allah will love you. And in this hadith tonight, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained some of the characteristics. After that characteristic of abstention from the dunya, he said, these are the characteristics that Allah loves in a person. Al-Abd, the one who is His servant, worshipper, who is taqi, who has taqwa, who is ghani, who is, yani, ghani, rich, free of need of others other than Allah. Khafi is unnoticed. It's not someone that is standing in front of the people, calling to be seen, to be heard, unnoticed. Worshipping Allah, busy worshipping Allah, and not concerned about the people noticing you. Before we go to the discussion of this hadith, just quickly, we'd like to look at the questions from last week, lecture number 35, from last week's lecture, from the study guide. The first question, Al-Hafiz ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, says, Az-Zuhud in the dunya involves three matters, all of which are actions of the heart, not from the actions of the limbs. Mention at least one of them. Naam, Jabir. Now, a person that is confident, is more confident with what is in the hands of Allah than what is in their own hand. And they are confident that Allah will provide and take care of His servants, as He promised. More confident than what they have in their own hands, in their own possession. This is trust in Allah. Al-thiqa billah. A second one, of those three things, which are very important matters. If we don't get nothing else out of last week's class, those three things, if a person knows them and try to practice them, Abu Bakr.
Yes, if a person is conflicted with calamity and has more desire with Allah, in other words, if something affects him, something, you know, like a disaster,
it's
more like closer. Now,
if a person, the servant of Allah, who when he is afflicted with a calamity, or when she is afflicted with a calamity, like the loss of their child, I mean a major calamity, or something like that, they are more desirous and more eager to receive the reward of being patient with that calamity than having that which they lost remaining with them. They would rather receive the reward of Allah for that which Allah has taken from them, if they are patient with it. They rather get that reward than that which they lost remain with them. That's deep, yes. Now, that's one way of putting it. Now, and the third one. Now, Jabir.
If a person is being blamed or praised,
now, Naam, if a person is being praised or blamed for the truth, for speaking the truth, for acting upon the truth, for taking a stand upon the truth, it's the same. Whether they are praised for it or blamed for it, doesn't matter. Because they're upon the truth. People praise them, people blame them, doesn't matter. They're sticking to the truth. It's all the same. Because they're not concerned about the people, they're concerned about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, these are three great matters. May Allah help us to strive for these things. The second question, how does Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah explain the people's hatred of those who beg for what they possess? And how does he explain that when you beg the people for their property, for their wealth, that they hate you for it? What is the explanation of this? What did Al-Imam Ibn Rajab say about this? In brief. Anybody remember? Now, okay, the wealth, the people's wealth is beloved to them. The possessions that the people have in this world is beloved to them. So when anybody asks the people for their belongings, for their property, for their wealth, that which they love, they hate you for that. They hate you for that, because they're not trying to give it up. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, "Izhad, wazhad fima inda nas, yuhibbuka nas." That if you abstain from what the people have with them, they will love you. But if you ask them for what they have, they will hate you. Because they're not trying to give it up. And of course, this doesn't mean every human being. But generally, this is the nature of the human being. Question number three. How did Al-Hasan Al-Basri, rahimahullah, the great tabi'i from the second generation after the Sahaba, become the master of the people of the city of Al-Basra? How did Al-Hasan Al-Basri become the master of the people of Al-Basra? Now, Ibrahim or? Ibrahim, now.
Because he had knowledge.
Okay.
He wasn't in need of them.
Now, because the people was in need of his knowledge. He was a scholar. And the people needed his knowledge. And as far as what they had, he was not in need of it, of their dunya. He didn't want anything from them. But they needed something from him. So he became their master, because they were in need of him. He's not in need of them. He's free of need of the people. Rather, he depends upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his needs. Question number four. It is lazim, inevitable, for one who observes zuhud in the dunya to earn Allah's love. Explain this. Why is it inevitable? Must of necessity happen that if a person observes zuhud in the dunya, they will earn Allah's love. Lazim, labudd minhu. Naam, Ahmed?
Ahmed?
Uh-huh. Tayyib. The hadith says if you abandon the things of this world, Allah will love you. In between there is a little bit extra if somebody could add to what he just said. That's a fact. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Abandon the things of this world, Allah will love you. Now, Jabir. Tayyib, he added to it now. He said, abstaining from the dunya causes you to seek the hereafter. Meaning the person who abandons, whose heart is not attached to the dunya, will be desirous of the hereafter. But still, something else added, a little bit more. Naam, the person who abstains from the dunya, who doesn't have love for the dunya, whose heart is not attached to the dunya, they must then, that will cause them to be desirous of the hereafter. Either a person's heart is attached to this dunya or to the hereafter, one or the other. So the person whose heart is not attached to the dunya, their heart will be attached to the hereafter. And whoever is desirous of the hereafter, who wants to be in the Jannah of Allah in the hereafter, this will cause that person to do the deeds that are pleasing to Allah in order to earn Allah's reward in the hereafter. The person wants to be in the hereafter, they must do something to earn it. So the person who is desirous of the hereafter will of necessity do the deeds that are pleasing to Allah. And these deeds that are pleasing to Allah will be the cause of earning the love of Allah. Because whoever does what's pleasing to Allah, Allah will love them. Now, question number 5. Mention some of the things included in the brief expression. Observe zuhud in the dunya. Yani in these words, the Prophet ﷺ said, izhad fi dunya. What is included in this, yani abstinence from the dunya? Includes like things like what? Now, transportation. The person is not hard or not attached to their transportation. You know, having a lot of cars and vehicles and planes, and we don't even talk about planes and jets and stuff like that. We're just talking about cars, right? And motorcycles and bicycles. What else? Now, okay, a person should do what they have to do in terms of employment, making a living, so that they will not be dependent on the people. But abstaining from the dunya includes abstaining from what things? Abstaining from begging from the people, now. Abstaining from the, yes. Turning your attention to Allah alone. Okay, what are the things of the dunya though that you have to give up?
Housing,
transportation, naam, wealth, whatever. The things of the world. This expression, izhad fi dunya, includes abstinence. Meaning, not overindulging. Doesn't mean that you don't eat or drink or have a means of transportation or a place to live in. But you don't overindulge in it. Your heart does not become attached to it. And it includes everything in the dunya. Everything in this dunya. Of the things, of worldly things. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that we didn't mention last week, but it's related to now the subject, الدنيا مَلْعُونَ مَلْعُونَ فِيهَا إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْعَالَمُ وَالْمُتَعَلَّمُ. That everything in this dunya is cursed, yani far removed from the mercy of Allah, except the remembrance of Allah, وَمَا وَلَا, and that which is like it. And the alim, the scholar, and the muta'allim, the student of knowledge. So everything in this world, a person should try to abstain from it, except to the extent that is necessary. That's necessary, and not beyond that. And how, how do the Ahlul Bidah, innovators, explain Allah's sifa, characteristic of mahabbah? Yani what did we say about the Ahlul Bidah, naam, the Ahlul Ta'atil, Ahmed? Okay. The Ahlul Ta'atil means the people who empty the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah of their meaning. That's the way they negate it, by emptying it from meaning. They say Allah doesn't really love. They say Allah really doesn't love. But when Allah's love is mentioned, this means, huh? His reward. It's an indirect expression hinting that for his reward. That really Allah doesn't love, that's not a characteristic of Allah. But Allah will, if he loves someone, that means what they really mean by that, he will reward them. Okay, they're given an interpretation other than what it actually means. As the Shaykh said, يفسرون بلازمه مع إنكاره. That they explain it by that which is inseparable from it. If Allah loves someone, He will reward them. That's true. So they give the reward as the definition of love. And reward is what a person gets if Allah loves them. But reward is not love. So they explain it with that which is inseparable from it, مَا إِنْكَارِهِ, while they reject the actual love itself. They reject it. They say Allah doesn't really love. Allah doesn't descend. His mercy descends. Allah doesn't have hands. Hands means power. Allah, whatever, they explain everything away. This is أَهْلُ تَعْتِيلُ. People who negate, who nullify, who empty Allah's names and characteristics of their meaning. And the following question related to this, explain the position of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah towards Allah's sifa of mahabba, love. The Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of Sunnah, who follow the deen of Allah, the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought it. How do they explain this characteristic of Allah, of mahabba, of love? Now,
we say that Allah loves, it's genuine love, it's not love that's enlightened to the people, it's in a way that's unique, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah's love is genuine love, it's not like love, like the character of the love of the people, and what did you say?
It's befitting to Allah.
Befitting of Allah, okay? So we say that Allah's mahabba is mahabba haqiqiyya. It's real love. It's real. Yes, it is love. Allah said love is love. But it's not like the love of the human beings, the characteristics of human beings. Because Allah's characteristic of love and any other characteristic is not like the characteristics of human beings. Allah sees, and human beings see, and animals see, and different creatures see. But the sight of the creatures seeing is not like Allah's seeing. Human beings and creatures and animals seeing is imperfect and limited. But Allah's seeing is divine. It's perfect. Unlimited. So the characteristics of Allah is not like the characteristics of His created beings. And so likewise His love. It's real love. But it's love that we understand in a way that's suitable, that's befitting of the majesty of Allah, the divinity of Allah. It's not like the love of His created beings. It's a love that's confirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's from the sifat al-af'al. Meaning it's from Allah's sifat that's connected to His actions. As opposed to the sifat al-dhatiyya. The sifat that's created to, that's connected to His divine being. Yani those things that are part of His divine being, that are unattachable from Him. That's not related to His will. His actions, sifat of af'al, fi'liya, are connected to His will. He does them whenever He wills. But as far as His sifat dhatiyya, that's with Him all the time. It's not connected to will that He does or doesn't do. It's with Him. That Allah, for example, Allah has knowledge. He doesn't have knowledge when He wills. That's not an action. That's one of Allah's divine being characteristics related to His divine being. That He has knowledge. And so on like this. And this is a little bit summary of the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah related to the sifat of Allah. And this is a whole course, but we're just talking about it in 1 minute here. Question number 8. Mention Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's definition of zuhud along with the linguistic definition. Along with the linguistic definition. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's definition of zuhud. And we had a lot of definitions of zuhud. But what does Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah say? And what is the linguistic definition? The one who doesn't have any desires for the dunya. That's one of the definitions. But what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah gave a definition that's very brief and exact and to the point. Okay, leaving that which is not beneficial in the hereafter. Yani that a person abandons those things which will not bring any benefit for them in the hereafter. It might not be haram. And it might bring some benefit in this world. But if it doesn't benefit you in the hereafter, what is the real benefit of it? The real benefit is that which benefits you in the hereafter. Otherwise in the dunya, you can get some things that benefit you. But they will not help you in the hereafter. Why occupy yourself with that at the loss of that which will benefit you, the real benefit in the real life? And that is the life in the hereafter. And the linguistic definition is Adam al-Ragba fi Shay. Yani the Shaykh said, Adam al-Ragba fi Shay. That a person doesn't have any desire for something. That's Zuhud, linguistic definition. A person doesn't have a desire for something. And Allah said that a person doesn't have a ragba, Adam, a ragba fi a shay. Person doesn't have a desire for something. As Allah said in the Quran concerning the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, wa kanu fihi من الزاهدين. That they were zahideen in reference to him. They didn't have desire for him. They didn't think much of him. They didn't value him. They sold him for a few coins. He was like, they didn't desire. They didn't care about it. That's the way the believer is with the dunya. We don't care about it. Inshallah, may Allah make us like that. Anyway, we are not like that, but we hope that Allah will make us like that. And question number 9, Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, says, a mu'min takes from the dunya enough to help him in his deen and... Yani, what was the rest of the statement that the Shaykh says? That the believer does not have his heart attached to the dunya. He's not running behind the dunya. He's not craving for the dunya. But rather, he takes from the dunya that which is enough for him, what? To help him in his deen. يُعِينُهُ عَلَى دِينِهِ وَيُغْنِيهِ عَنَ النَّاسِ. And what? And make him free of need of the people. Like the only thing that he wants in this dunya is that which will help him in his deen and make him free of need of the people. He will just be in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And finally, Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, Allah musta'an, Hafidhahullah says, Allah is described as loving al-ibad, and he described the ibad in a way, and al-a'mal, and the deeds, and he described them in what way? What kind of ibad and what kind of deeds? That Allah loves, what? He is described as loving al-ibad and al-a'mal. Al-ibad al-salih, al-ibad al-salihin, wal-a'mal al-saliha. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's described as loving, it means that he loves the servants who are righteous. He doesn't love everyone. Like these people of kufr say, God loves everyone. No, Allah doesn't love everyone. No. But he loves the righteous servants who are obedient to him, who believe in him, and who worship him alone with tawheed. And he loves al-a'mal al-saliha, righteous deeds. He doesn't love kufr and shirk and sin and corruption, but he loves righteous deeds. And this is the end of what we discussed last week, I mean in terms of the summary of it. And inshallah, we will talk a little bit further about this topic in tonight's hadith, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The hadith that we want to discuss tonight is the hadith, as we mentioned, of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhu. قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله يحب العبد التقي الغني الخفي رواه مسلم. And I want to start just with the definitions that Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Salih al-Bassam rahimahullah mentions. But before mentioning that, I just want to say, with Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, we're going to come to his explanation, but I want to mention first that he says Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was ahad as-sabiqina al-awwalina ila al-Islam. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, that he was one of those who were foremost, first and foremost, in entering Islam. Yani as-sabiqina al-awwalina, as Allah mentioned in the Quran. As-sabiquna al-awwaluna min al-muhajirin wal-ansar in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah talks about those people who were the first and foremost to enter Islam. They have a high status. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was one of those people from the first and foremost to enter Islam. وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ And he was also one of the muhajirin. And you know that the Sahaba was divided into what? The muhajirun and the ansar. Those who migrated from Mecca, left their homes and their families and their wealth and everything for the sake of Allah. And the ansar, who were in Medina, who accepted them and received them and supported them and defended them and took them in. And so the best of them is those who Allah mentioned first. السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار. The muhajirin have the first rank and the ansar have the second rank. And they are the best of humanity after the prophets from amongst the sahaba. The muhajirin and then the ansar. He was also from amongst the muhajirin. And the shaykh says, وَأَحَدُ الْعَشَرَةِ الْمُبَشِّرِينَ بِالْجَنَّةِ And he was also one of the 10 people who were promised Jannah in their lifetime. While he was living, walking on the earth, the Prophet ﷺ said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, wa Umar fil Jannah, wa Uthman fil Jannah, wa Ali fil Jannah. And he went on to mention 10 people. From amongst them is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. That these people, while they were living, Allah had informed the Prophet ﷺ that these people are going to die in a condition of Islam, on Tawheed, that's pleasing to him, and they already guaranteed Jannah while they are alive. This is something to think about. And now is not the time because we are racing against time. But this is something to think about. What kind of people are these people? That while they're walking on the earth, Allah already said they are guaranteed to be in Jannah. And as for the rest of humanity, they're just hoping that they will die on Islam. And Allah instructed us and advised us. And in a sense, it's a warning. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ And don't die except while you are Muslims. Yani in a state of Islam. In a state of what? Worshipping Allah alone with tawheed and submission to your Lord and obedience to Him. Don't die in a state of disobedience or in a state of sin or in a state of shirk or kufr. And that means that a person has to live, as Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says in the tafsir of this ayah, a person has to live all the time, every day, in obedience to Allah, in submission to Allah, because you don't know when Allah is going to take your life. So how can you be guaranteed to die on Islam except that you live upon Islam? And whoever lives upon Islam, then Allah will make it so that they will die upon Islam. And whoever dies upon Islam, they will be resurrected upon Islam. And we seek refuge in Allah from anything other than that. Allahumma musta'an. طيب شيخ عبد الله ابن عبد الرحمن ابن صالح علي بسام رحمه الله he says التقي in this hadith إن الله يحب العبد the slave servant worshipper التقي that has تقوى الغني that's rich free of need of the dunya and the people of the dunya and only in need of Allah الخفي the one who is what Khafi, it's not seen, unnoticed, is not the one who is like to be heard and like to be seen and wants to be recognized and praised and want people to be talking about them. Rather, that person is khafi. They are busy worshipping Allah, remembering Allah, occupied with the affairs that are of their concern. And they're not concerned about being seen or being heard or being recognized or being praised. Allah loves the abd that have these characteristics. One who is a worshipper, and one who has taqwa, and one who is free of need of the world and the people of the world, and one who doesn't want to be noticed. The Shaykh says, التقي الممثل لأوامر الله المجتنب لنواهي The one who fulfills the commands of Allah and who avoids His prohibitions. The one who does what Allah has made obligatory. And who stays far removed from that which Allah has prohibited, seeking the pleasure of Allah and fearing the punishment of Allah. Why are they doing this? Because they're seeking the pleasure of Allah. And they're fearing the punishment of Allah. And Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, Well, I'll come back to his, inshallah. Then the Shaykh says, Al-Ghani. What is Al-Ghani? Al-Ghani is the one who is rich in himself. No matter if that person is described with having much wealth or little wealth. Ghani is usually translated as a person who's rich. But here, the Shaykh is saying, the Ghani is the one who's rich within himself. Even if he has a lot of wealth or a little wealth, it doesn't matter. This is the ghani that we're talking about. The one who refrains from what is in the hands of the people, has no need, free of need. Rich meaning they have no need of what's in the hands of the people. And they depend upon what Allah has apportioned for them of provisions, what Allah has decreed that will be their portion in this world. And that is that which they can earn with their own hands. Not by begging, but by doing some honorable, respectable, lawful work. That's the ghani. Naam? The last part, the one who is holding back from that which is in the hands of the people, abstaining, refraining from asking the people for what they have. Because they are depending on what Allah has apportioned the amount that Allah has decreed of provisions and sustenance for them. What Allah has decreed for them. Every person, when they came into this world while they're in their mother's womb, it is already written for them. their lifespan and their provisions and their end condition, whether they will be wretched or fortunate, meaning they will be the people of paradise or the hellfire. So from the things that are already decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is provision that a person would have in this world. It's already decided. And this, and may Allah help us that we don't get too sidetracked with it, this means that a person will have what Allah has decreed. And therefore, nobody should think about stealing or cheating, because you're not going to get any more than what Allah has already written for you. But it's up to you to get it in the lawful way or an unlawful way. You will not get any more than what Allah has already written for you. Why steal? Why cheat? And this is from the greatness of Islam and the aqidah of Islam, that a person is free of need of these things when they realize that Allah has already written for them their portion. And it's only upon them to get it in a way that's pleasing to Allah. And the last characteristic the Shaykh mentions from this hadith is al-khafi. He said the one who is cut off, al-munqati'a, cut off from the people for the purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in secret. And that person is far removed from the things that lead to riya and sam'a. That the things that lead to doing something to be seen or that people will hear about you. Like a person does something so that people will see them. Or they do something so that people will talk about it and the people will hear about them. But the one who worship Allah in secret, they are removed from this because they are doing it secretly. So they will be protected from riya because they are not doing it where anybody can see them. So they couldn't possibly be doing it to be seen because nobody's seeing them. This means that they will be nearer to al-ikhlas. That whatever they will do it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also he said that it is the one who prefers being obscure. Yani being unseen and not being famous or being mentioned. Because they separate themselves. Jamil, watch your feet. You're touching somebody's machine. Because they are what? Separate themselves for the sake of worshiping Allah and busying themselves with the remembrance of Allah and what will help them in their personal affairs. Yani the things that are related to them. And then the Shaykh says, Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Salih al-Bassam, rahimahullah, he says, whoever has collected or gathered or joined together these three characteristics, he means, yani al-taqwa and al-ghina and al-khifa, whoever joins these three characteristics, then Allah will love that person because he will be observing taqwa of Allah. And Allah loves the muttaqeen, the people of taqwa. And because this person will make themselves free of need of the people by depending on Allah alone. And whoever seeks to be free of need by depending on Allah alone, then Allah will love that person and Allah will enrich that person. And whoever depends upon Allah alone, Allah will take care of them. And then the Shaykh mentions in his brief comments concerning this hadith, he said that they have mentioned al-uzla wa fawa'id minha. Yani some of the scholars mention al-uzla, that is, yani being in isolation, separation, solitude, detached, seclusion, retreat. Al-uzla, a person just separates somewhat from the people, is not in the mix, as they say. That's the young people say it like that, I think. Huh? Huh? Oh, we used to say it too? Okay, I forgot, Jamil. We're getting old now. So, he said that they mentioned that al-uzla, that the person who secludes themselves and retreats and isolates, put themselves in solitude, that there are benefits from this. And he mentions four of them. The first benefit is that the person who is not fully engaged in the things of the world and the people and the society, they will be free to worship Allah. Because they will not be occupied with the foolishness of the world, wasting their time. They will be free to worship Allah. They will free themselves up to worship for the worship of Allah and to enjoy the intimate relation of communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani their social interaction will be more directed towards the intimate discourse between the abd and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be engaged in the remembrance of Allah and the recitation of the Quran and the performance of salat and the things that connect them to Allah and which separate them from the people. The second benefit, he said, التخلص من المعاصي, that a person will escape and be free from the sins which a person would be subjected to by mixing a lot with the people. Like fitna, trials and tribulations from the problems amongst the people. And arriya, yani ostentation, showing off. If they're not mixing with the people a lot, they will escape from the sin and the disease of showing off. Because when other people around, the nature of the human being is inclined to show off. And the third benefit, he said, al-khalas min al-khusumat, that a person will escape and be free from argumentation, arguing and disputing. Sometimes you may say, let me just go home and stay away from the people. Because what? I'm tired of this arguing and disputing. The only way to escape from it, what? Seclude yourself a little bit. And we're not suggesting that a person should become a monk and just drop out of society. That's not what we're saying. But there are some benefits from al-uzla, seclusion and retreat. And the fourth benefit, he said, al-khalas min sharr al-nas, that a person will escape from the evil of the people, the harms of the people. And there's plenty of that. Shaykh Muhammad, al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says concerning this hadith. Number one, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna allaha yuhibbu, that inna allaha yuhibbu. هذه جملة مؤكدة بإن, that this sentence that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is about to say is confirmed. Yani he's emphasizing what he's about to say by saying inna, which means surely, definitely, verily. Inna allaha yuhibbu, definitely, verily, surely Allah loves. وَالْمَحَبَّ صِفَةٌ حَقِيقِيَّةٌ ثَابِتَةٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يُحِبُّ مَنْ شَاءَ مِنَ الْأَشْخَاصِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ وَالْأَزْمَانِ وَالْأَمَاكِنِ. That indeed love, the mahabba, is a sifa, a characteristic, حَقِيقِيَّة, that is real, a real characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not some matter that we interpret with some far off, any interpretation, but it is love. And it is confirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a fact that Allah does love. But as we said previously, that we understand it in a way that's suitable to the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's suitable for the divinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the defective human love of the creatures and human beings that could be filled with poison and sin and evil and whatever. Corruption and other things. But Allah's love is a divine love. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves whoever He wills of the people, al-ashkhas. And whatever He wills of the a'mal, the deeds, Allah loves certain deeds. Wal-azman, and the times, certain times Allah loves over other times. And al-amakin, the places, Allah loves some places over other places. Whatever He wills. And the love of Allah is connected to all of these things. People, places, times, deeds. Na'am. And then the Shaykh says, examples. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim. أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا, the most beloved of the lands in the earth are the masjids. These are places that Allah loves, the masjids. And the Shaykh, he didn't mention it, but I'm adding to it from the hadith, also from the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, and the most hated of the places in the lands is the aswaq, the marketplaces. Some people love to just roam in the marketplaces. Better that you sit in the masjid. And some people, they come to the masjid to pray, and as soon as the prayer is over, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi, they run out of the masjid, like they're running from something evil. And these are the places that's most beloved to Allah. حَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَسَاجِدُهَا. So this is connected to what? To places that are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وفي الأزمان, and in terms of times, أحب العمل إلى الله تعالى الصلاة على وقتها, that the most beloved of deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the salat on its time, in its time. And in another narration of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, في أول وقتها, in the beginning of its time. And the salat in the beginning of its time. And the Shaykh says, this is connected to al-amal wal-azman. This is connected to deeds and places, deeds and times. Meaning that the beginning of the time for the salah is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a reference to time. And a reference to deeds of the most beloved of deeds to Allah is the salat. But specifically, the salat in general, and specifically the salat in the beginning of its time. As far as al-ashkhas or people, The Shaykh says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And this is mentioned in Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah, 4th Ayat. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. The people who have taqwa. And this is general. Yani this is the general love. Allah loves generally the people of taqwa. And then the Shaykh says, وَهُنَاكْ خُصُوص. And then there are some people special. Not general, but special, particular people that Allah loves. He says, the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لَعَاتِيَنَّ الرَّايَ غَدًا رَجُلًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ. That tomorrow, definitely tomorrow, I'm going to give the flag, the banner of the army, to a man that loves Allah and His Messenger. And Allah and His Messenger loves that man. And who was that man? The next day it came out to be who? Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. Radiallahu anhu. Naam. And this is muqayyid bishakhs. Yani this love is not general love for the people of taqwa or the people of sabr or the people of... This is special love for a person. Allah and His Messenger loves this person. And the Shaykh said, and the Prophet ﷺ said concerning the man that used to read, you know, used to lead the people, his people in prayer, and he used to recite, and the end of every rakah he used to recite, Kul huwa Allahu ahad. In every rakah. And it's a long hadith, but we don't mention the whole hadith here. We just want to mention this point. Because some people wasn't pleased with him doing that. They said, just give that up and recite something else sometime. And he said, you know, like this is what I want to do. If you don't like it, get somebody else to be the imam. But if you want me, this is how I'm going to do it. And the Prophet ﷺ said that he used to recite that. It came out that he used to recite that because this characteristic, Kul huwa Allahu ahad, is one of the sifat of Ar-Rahman. So the Prophet ﷺ said to those people, when he said why he used to recite this, because from the sifat of Ar-Rahman, he said, أَخْبِرُوهُ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّهُ. Inform him that Allah loves him, specifically, that particular man. Allah loves him. Now, subhanAllah. And the Shaykh goes on to say that here, in this hadith, and this is important because none of the other any scholars who mentioned this hadith, I didn't find anybody else. Well, probably somebody else said it, but in any case, we didn't see it immediately that anybody else mentioned this point. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he says, وَهُنَا يَقُولُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدِ. Here, we have the saying that Allah loves the abd. Is this al-ubudiyyah, al-kawniyyah, or al-shar'iyyah? Yani this abd, is it the abd that is normally translated as slave or servant? Is it the abd? But here we want to translate it as worshipper. Because abd, right, is from the root of here, ubudiyyah, or we can say ibadah. So the abd is the one who does ibadah. Huh? So the translation that we want to use here of abd is the worshipper. Is this abd here? Okay, the Shaykh is saying we want to distinguish between the abd that's just a slave under somebody's command and the abd who willingly is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's two different types of abd. And Shaykh al-Hakami in his book, The Signpost of the Sunnah, mentions this. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah also mentions in his book, Ubudiyyah, the difference between the abd that is the one who's under the authority of Allah, because Allah has power over every creature that He created, and the abd who willingly surrenders and submits to Allah to worship Him. Because he accepts what Allah has commanded him with. Willingly. So the Shaykh says, is this abd that Allah, inna Allah yuhibbul abd, Is it the abd that is worshipping al-ubudi al-kawniya, that is a slave of Allah by Allah's yani divine command or control, universal authority? Or is it the one who is worship, who is an abd of ubudiyya al-shara'iyya, yani the one who is in ubudiyya that's based upon what Allah has legislated? Meaning, there's one who is the servant of Allah, I mean who is the slave of Allah, because Allah has power over him and does with him whatever he wills. And the other one who is the slave of Allah, actually he's worshipping Allah because he has accepted what Allah has legislated in his Sharia, and he's worshipping Allah willingly, doing what Allah has legislated. So the Shaykh said, which one is it? He said, it is al-abd bil-ubudiyya al-shara'iyya. The abd who is, his ubudiyya is according to the Sharia. Meaning his ubudiyya is not submission because Allah has power over you, forcing you to surrender and submit. Rather, it's the ubudiyya of the person who willingly surrenders. Al-istislam lillahi bit-tawheed. Al-istislam, the one who willingly surrenders and submits to Allah to worship Him alone with tawheed. This is the real meaning of the Muslim. The Shaykh said is this one, the abd who has willingly surrendered to Allah to worship Him according to the law that He has revealed in His Sharia. And this is because al-abd bil-ubudiyya al-kawniyya, the abd who his ubudiyya is by the universal authority of Allah over all creatures, without, yani, other than the ubudiyya that's according to the Sharia of Allah, this one, that abd, doesn't love Allah. That is like the kafir. He's Abdullah. He's Abdullah. Naam. But his ubudiyya is ubudiyya kawniyya. Yani, he is the slave of Allah by compulsion, ijbaran, not willingly. Allah forced him into submission. He has no choice in some things. Allah will force him to do it, whatever he wills. And this one, he doesn't love Allah. And Allah doesn't love him. But his ubudiyya is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaf'alu fihi ma sha'a. Because Allah does with him whatever he wills. In that sense, he's the abd of Allah. Because Allah forced him and does with him whatever he wills. So the abd here that's mentioned in this hadith is al-abd bil-ubudiyya al-shara'iyya. Yani the abd whose ubudiyya, his condition, is a willing condition of submission and servitude to Allah to worship Him according to what He has revealed in His Sharia. Yani the one who does what Allah wills willingly. Based on what Allah has legislated in His Sharia. That is the first characteristic. Al-abd, al-ubudiyya, al-shara'iyya. The worshipper who worships Allah, whose condition of servitude or slavery is willing submission, willing servitude to worship Allah according to His Sharia. As-sifa al-thaniya, the second characteristic is al-taqwa. يعني متقن لله, the one who observes taqwa of Allah عز وجل. And a taqwa, it is to do that which will protect you from the punishment of Allah by obedience to Allah and fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. And this is the most comprehensive yani of definitions that have been given concerning a taqwa. Yani that a person does that which protects them. The taqwa means it's a shield that protects them from the punishment of Allah by obedience to Allah and fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. The second character, third characteristic, al-ghani, means the one who is al-ghani an ghayri Allahi, huwa ghani bi nafsihi, qani'un bima ataahu Allah. The one who is rich, who is free of need of anything and everything other than Allah. He is rich within himself, satisfied, content with what Allah has given him, what Allah has decreed for him. He's content with that. He goes out and works lawfully, and whatever comes, he's good with that. If he gets a lot or he gets a little, he's satisfied. Has no need to beg the people. What Allah has given him is sufficient. This is the ghani. That person is ghani. That's the one who's rich. Now, he doesn't ask the people and beg the people. And the fourth characteristic, al-wasf al-rabi'a, al-khafi. That is the person who doesn't love to be seen. لا يحب الظهور. He doesn't love to be on the platform, in the spotlight. In the, what do they call that? Photo spot, shop, or photo something. Huh? Whatever. Na'am. And this is because the most important thing to him is the love of Allah. And that the people be pleased with him. Na'am. And we should be concerned about the love of the people, as the Prophet ﷺ said to the man who asked, what can he do? That if he does it, Allah will love him and the people will love him. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, how you can get the people to love you? You should get the people to love you. But not at the cost of sin, but by doing that which is right. He said that his only concern is that what? He earns the love of Allah and that the people are pleased with him. And for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said that there are some people whose hair is unkept and they are covered with dust and they are repulsed from the doors. Meaning if they knock on people's doors, nobody will let them in. لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ. But if he swears by Allah, Allah will make that which he swore by come about. Yani the people don't care about him, but Allah cares about him. What? His hair is unkempt, his clothes is dusty, and if he knocks on doors, nobody will let him in. You know, some people, if they knock on any door, people will let them in. And other people, they won't let you in. Because you are unknown, unseen, unworthy. But this person, but if he swears by Allah, what he swore upon, it will happen. And this hadith, the Shaykh said, he mentioned previously. This one, who is like this, hair unkempt and dusty and repulsed from the doors, who is unnoticed, ما يعرف ولا يؤذن له فيدخل. This person is unknown, and nobody will give him permission to enter. So the Prophet ﷺ said, in another hadith, توبى لعبد آخذ بأنان فرسه في سبيل الله إن كان في الساقة كان في الساقة وإن كان في الحراسة كان في الحراسة ولا يبالي بنفسه أي مكان يوضع فيه إن شفع لم يشفع وإن سعل لم يعطي. And the Shaykh, he says that he mentions part of this hadith, not the whole of the hadith, but the part of it is توبى لعبد آخذ بأنان فرسه. That good news. Or, as some explanation of the scholars, Tuba means a tree in paradise. Yani, that this is good news for a person, that they will be in Jannah. For the Abd, who is taking the reins of his horse in the way of Allah. And if he is in the forefront of the army, then he is in the forefront. It doesn't matter to him. In the most dangerous position. In the forefront. Or if he is in the Hirasa in the back, guarding the rears, it doesn't matter to him. Put him in the front, put him in the back. Wherever you put him, it doesn't matter. He's in the way of Allah. He doesn't care about where you place him. And this one, if he asks for intercession, somebody to intercede, if he tried to intercede for somebody, to speak up on behalf of somebody, nobody will accept his intercession. Because he's unknown, he's unimportant, he's unnoticed, he's not an important person, he doesn't have status. And if he asked people for something, they will not give it to him. Because they don't think he's worthy. He's not like the guy who's important. If he asks you for something, you jump to give it to him. Because you hope that I'm going to get something from him in return. But this person, we don't see we get nothing from him. So we're not giving him. And we're not respecting him. This is the person who's khafi. He is the person who doesn't love to be in the forefront, apparent, in front of the people. He is the one that Allah loves. Amma, as far as the one who loves to be in the front of the people, and you find him when he sits in the gathering of the people, he stands up and he talks as though there's nobody else present except him. When he's amongst the people, he has so much to say. He wants to be the center of attention. He wants everybody to listen to me alone. Nobody else should be talking here but me. As though he's the only person there. As far as that person, when any issue came up, if there's a student of knowledge around him, he will say, what do you say about this? And how do you reconcile between this and this? And he begins to give details and explanations, trying to show that he is Akbar al-Ulama. Like he's the biggest of scholars. Listen to me. He starts saying all kind of stuff. Like he's some kind of big alim or something. As far as this person, the Shaykh says, no. Kun khafiyan. Be unnoticed. Be unnoticed. Takun inda Allah ta'ala azeeman rafiyan. In that case, if you are satisfied to be unnoticed, you will be in front of Allah azeeman rafiyan. You will be great. You will be high. You will have a high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh says, from this hadith are fawaid. Fi hadha al-hadith fawaid. There are many benefits. He mentions a few of them. One, he said, the confirmation of mahabba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we confirm that al-mahabba, love, is one of the characteristics of Allah. And this is based on his saying, in Allah yuhibbu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah loves. And also, from the benefits of this hadith, is al-hath ala hadhihi al-awsaf al-arba'a. That we are encouraged to possess these four characteristics. That a person should strive to attain these four characteristics. And the first of them is the achievement of ubudiyya, being in a state of servitude, of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-abd. And the second of them is taqwa, observing the commands of Allah and avoiding His prohibitions. And the third of them is al-ghani, al-ghina, being free from need of what is in the hands of the people, depending on Allah alone. And the fourth of them is al-khafa, that is being unnoticed, unseen, not seeking attention. And these characteristics, Allah loves them. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't inform us about these characteristics except to encourage us to attain them. And from the benefits of this hadith is that it is expected that a person should be free, make themselves free of need of what's in the hands of the people, the belongings, the properties, the possessions of the people. Rather, they should make themselves free of need of the people completely, not just their possessions, be free of need of the people. So don't ask them, anyone, for anything, illa in the darura, except for dire necessity. Other than that, do it out. If you don't have much, be satisfied with what you have. Don't ask the people, except in dire necessity. Don't ask the people for their wealth. Don't ask them to help you. Don't ask them to intercede on your behalf. Don't ask them for anything, except in dire necessity. Because in this way, a person will achieve the characteristic of being ghaniyan, yani free of need of the people, depending on Allah alone. And from the benefits of this hadith, the Shaykh says that it is expected and it is right and befitting of a person that they be khafiyan, that you should be unnoticed. But here the Shaykh says this is an issue. And this issue I would like to talk about in detail, but maybe time will not allow. But in any case, we'll just mention what the Shaykh has said here. This being khafi, yani being unnoticed, being secluded, unattached, yani separating from the people. Does this require that we command the people to seclude themselves, yani to isolate themselves, to just separate completely from the people and the society? The Shaykh says, la. No. We do not say, i'tazil an-nas, yani isolate yourself completely from the people. We're not saying that. The Shaykh is saying, we're not saying that. Walakin naqulu la tahris ala ibraz nafsik. But what we say is, do not be eager to make yourself seen, that you stand out amongst the people. Don't be eager to be seen, to be heard, to be noticed, to be, yani, that people talk about you, that people know you, who you are, that you're important. Don't be eager for this. You don't have to isolate yourself from the people completely, but don't seek to be seen. And then know that if you make yourself unnoticed while you are deserving of being noticed and being seen, then verily Allah will make you noticed, and Allah will make you seen, and Allah will make the people to know you. Now, as far as al-uzla, yani isolation, retreat, separation, segregation, seclusion from the society or from the people, the most correct of the sayings of the scholars, and the scholars differ about this, the most correct of the sayings of the scholars is that If a person isolates themselves and separates themselves in defense of the deen, yani to protect their deen, then this is good. Otherwise, the mu'min who mix with the people and bears patiently the harm that comes from them is better than the one who does not mix with the people and does not bear patiently the harm. And this statement from the Shaykh is based upon a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is sahih, in which the Prophet ﷺ said almost in those exact words, Al-Mu'min alladhi yukhalit an-nas wa yasbir ala adahum khayrun. And in one narration, afdalun. And in another narration, a'azam ajran min al-mu'min alladhi la yukhalit an-nas wa la yasbir ala adahum. That the believer who mix with the people and bears patiently the harm that comes from mixing with them, from helping them and joining the good and forbidding the wrong and so on, that one is better. And in another narration he said, preferable. And another narration he said, greater in reward than the one who does not mix with the people and who does not bear patiently the harm that comes from them. Therefore we say, mix with the people and be patient with the harm that comes from them. And the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, وَيَصْبِرْ عَلَىٰ ذَاهُمْ, and be patient with the harm that comes from them, indicates that this man who does so is the one who used to enjoin the good and who used to forbid the wrong. Because the one who doesn't subject himself to the people by telling them that they're supposed to be doing some things, or they're not supposed to be, the one who doesn't subject himself to the people by doing that, no harm will come to him from the people. But when you start telling the people, it's time for salat, go and make salat. Drinking is haram, gambling is haram. When you start telling people that, they're going to harm you. Physically if they can, but if not, they're going to talk about you. They're going to spread lies and slander, and they're going to try to do something to you. And Luqman, the Shaykh closes with the statement of Luqman to his son, Ya Bunayya Aqim As-Salat Wa'amur Bil Ma'roof Wanha Anil Munkar Wasbir Ala Ma Asabak. Then Luqman said to his son, O my dear son, establish the Salat and enjoin the good and forbid the evil and be patient with that which you are afflicted with as a result of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, he says concerning this hadith, there are three characteristics which Allah loves in a person. And this, and also in this hadith, Allah is described as loving, which a love with a love that is yani befitting of His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first of those characteristics, yani after al-ubudiyyah, he's saying the taqwa. The first of those characteristics is that Allah loves at-taqi, the one who is described with the characteristic of taqwa. And taqwa of Allah, it is to do that which He has commanded, hoping for His reward. Not just doing what He has commanded, but expecting, hoping for His reward. A person should do good, hoping for Allah's reward. Not like the Sufis say, just do good, don't have any, you know, objective behind it. No, Allah wants us to do good for His reward. This is the way of Islam, the real true Islam. That the person does what Allah has commanded, hoping for His reward. And they leave off that which has what Allah has prohibited, fearing His punishment. And taqwa has been named taqwa because it taqi. Taqwa, taqi min adhabillah. It protects a person from the punishment of Allah. Yani it shields a person. Taqwa. This state of taqwa shields a person from the punishment of Allah. And it is ma'akhudha min al-waqaya. Yani the word taqwa is taken from the word waqaya, which means a shield or something that's used for protection. And that is that which protects you from that which you dislike, from harm. So obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla, it has been named taqwa. Because obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it protects you from the hellfire. And at-taqwa is a word, kalimatun jamiatun, a comprehensive word. that includes within it many characteristics of khayr, many characteristics of good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected it to it, khayrat kathira, so many goods, to taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah of the Quran, in the second and third ayat, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, whoever observes taqwa of Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, Allah will make for him a way out of any situation or difficulty or hardship that that person will be in. What greater khayr than that? Whoever's in difficulty, observe taqwa of Allah. Allah will make a way out. وَيَرْزُقُهُ, in the third ayat, وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah will provide for him sustenance and means and provisions from where he didn't imagine. Like, I don't know where I'm gonna live. I don't know where it's gonna come from. But if you observe taqwa Allah, Allah will provide for him where you didn't expect it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in the fourth ayah, same surah, 65, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. That whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will make ease in his affair. You're having difficulty, observe taqwa of Allah. Allah will make your affair easy for you. And the Shaykh didn't mention it, but I mention it. In the fifth ayah also, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعَذِّمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. And whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will expiate for him his sins. And Allah will magnify, multiply, increase his reward. This all from taqwa. And then the Shaykh says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَيَصْبِرُ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُدِيعُ أَجْرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is Surah to Yusuf, 12th Surah, 90th Ayat. That whoever observes taqwa and is patient, observes taqwa and is patient, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُدِيعُ أَجْرُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Then Allah will never cause the reward of the muhsineen, the people of good, will never cause their reward to be lost. It will never be lost. They will definitely be rewarded. So taqwa, Allah has connected to it so much good. And also the Shaykh said, Allah has connected to it and najat min al-nar, yawm al-qiyamah. That connected to taqwa is that a person will have salvation, will be saved from the fire on the day of resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 72nd Ayat, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوُ. Then we will rescue and save those who observe taqwa. وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جَثِيًّا. And we will leave in it, in the hellfire, the ظَالِمِينَ, the wrongdoers, the oppressors, the people of shirk. And ظُلْم in the Qur'an, 99% of the time it means shirk. ظُلْم means shirk. Because there's no ظُلْم that's greater than offering the worship that belongs to Allah to other than Allah. What greater wrongdoing is than that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then we will save those who have the people of taqwa, and we will leave the zalimeen, the people of shirk, in it on their knees, in the hellfire. فَهِيَ كَلِمَةَ جَامِيَةَ. So this taqwa is a word that is comprehensive, and its benefits are azima, very great. And it means that a person, the abd, fulfills the commands of Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah, and avoids the maharim, the things that Allah has made haram, fearing the punishment of Allah. This is taqwa. And Allah loves the people of taqwa. And this is in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 4th Ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, Allah loves the people of taqwa. And likewise, Allah loves the tawwabin, the people who make tawbah, who repent to Allah. قَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى in Surah Al-Baqarah, Second Surah, 222, Ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَحِرِينَ. That Allah loves the people, the tawwabina, who repent frequently. A tawwab is the sigha mubalagha of tawbah. Tawbah means person repented. Tawwab, a ta'ib is a person who repents. But tawwab is a person who repents frequently, a lot of repentance. And Allah loves those who repent frequently, and those, the people who keep themselves pure. And the Shaykh says, وَالصِّفَةَ الثَّانِيَة, the second characteristic, الْغَنِي. And what is intended by الْغَنِي means the one whose heart is rich. Yani they are content. The person who is content with what Allah has provided them with. The one who doesn't have inordinate desires, yani beyond what's necessary. And that person is not greedy for so many things. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, the sahih, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَ الْغِنَى غِنَى الْقَلْبِ. Or in one narration, غِنَى النَّفْسِ. That richness is not having a lot of like material things, a lot of property, but rather real richness is the person whose heart is rich, whose heart is content. So you will find some people who are ghaniyan, really rich, even though they only have a little bit of money. Wallahi. That is, if Allah has given them, have blessed them with al-qana'a, to be content. If Allah has blessed the person to be content, you'll find them rich, even though they have a little bit of money. And you will find some people who they are poor, their heart is in poverty, even though عَنْدَهُ أَمْوَالِ الدُّنْيَا. Even though you have the wealth, the whole wealth of the earth. But in their heart, they are not content. وَالصِّفَةَ الثَّالِثَةَ. And the third characteristic, الْخَفِي. That is the one who does not love to be seen in front of the people with his actions, doing deeds so that the people can see. But rather, he hides his actions. He does them secretly, ikhlasan lillahi azza wa jalla, so that he will be yani sincere for the sake of Allah, not doing it to be seen from the people. He doesn't love to be praised. He doesn't love the people to glorify him. But he does al-amal as-saliha, righteous deeds, wa-yafal al-khayr, and he does good, but he does not like the people to see him doing it. He hides his deeds whenever he can. And this is the one that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves, because he is far from ar-riyah, from ostentation, doing to be seen by the people. And he is qareebun min al-ikhlas. And he is near and close to sincerity to Allah Azza wa Jalla. He does not love al-dhuhur, just being seen amongst the people. And he doesn't love al-madh and al-thana, being praised by the people and glorified by the people. وَإِنَّمَا يُحِبُّ الرِّضَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَمَا يُقَرِّبُ إِلَيْهِ. But rather he loves the pleasure of Allah and that which brings him near to Allah. وَهَذَا هُوَ الَّذِي يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. This is the one that Allah loves. And in one narration it says, Al-Khafi, it says Al-Hafi. Instead of Khafi, Al-Hafi. And with Ha instead of Kha. And that is the one who honors, who entertains his relatives and honors the people who are related to him. And he honors them. And he honors his Muslim brothers. Or she honors her Muslim sisters. Meaning the one who is yani entertaining, not entertaining music like that. I mean, who takes care of their guests and honors the people and hosts the people. And in this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with al-mahabba. That's one of the characteristics of Allah. And also, in this hadith, is the excellence of these characteristics. At-taqwa and being Al-ghina, ghina al-qalb, person being content in their heart, meaning they are rich, they are without need in their heart, they are satisfied with what Allah has provided them with. And al-ikhlas lillahi azza wa jalla fil aqwal wal a'mal. And a person who does for the sake of Allah, whatever he says and whatever he does it with ikhlas, sincerely for the sake of Allah. That is the khafi, who worships Allah and doesn't want to be seen worshiping Allah. And also, الزهد في الثناء والمد من الناس. And this person is observing زهد. Yani, they don't have any desire. They are free of need of the praise and glorification of the people. They don't have any need for that. لا يهمه مد الناس أو ثناء الناس. He's not concerned about the praise of the people. وإنما الذي يهمه رضا الله سبحانه وتعالى. وَحَتَّى لَوْ سَخِتَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ وَذَمُّوهُ فَلَا يُهِمُّهُ هَذَا. And this is what the Shaykh closed with, that verily, the only thing that he is concerned about is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if the people hate him for it, and they blame and criticize him. He doesn't care. I think it's time for the adhan. Is that right? Not yet? Okay, just for a couple of minutes, inshallah. Quickly, some notes. Al-Khutabi says concerning the hadith that the Shaykh mentioned, the mu'min alladhi yukhalit al-nas wa yasbir adahum, the believer who mix with the people and bears patiently their harm instead of completely separating from the people. He says, Al-Khutabi, one of the great scholars of hadith, he says that the summary of this matter of al-uzla and khulta, yani separating from the people, isolating yourself from the people, or mixing with the people. The summary of this matter, like what is the reconciliation between these two matters? Should we mix or should we separate? He says, هو لزوم القصد في الحالتين, that a person should keep their intention in either condition. Meaning they should be thinking one thing, no matter if they're mixing with the people or separating the people. They should stay on their intention. And that is to do whatever is pleasing to Allah. He says, الطريقة المثلى, the best way to what to do in this situation is that a person should not restrain from fulfilling the rights of the people that are obligatory upon him. Meaning isolate yourself, you don't fulfill the rights that people have over you. The people in the society, your family, your neighbors, your friends, if you isolate your people, then they have certain rights that you deny them. He said that you should not refrain from fulfilling the rights of the people upon you. Even if they didn't ask for their rights, still you have to fulfill the rights of the people. So you have to mix with the people to some extent, even if they don't ask for their rights. And do not become immersed in, with the people and their falsehood in that which is not obligatory upon you, even if they call you to it. Meaning when the people call you to something that you shouldn't be involved in, then don't mix with it, with them in that situation. So whoever is busied with that which does not concern him, then that which is of concern for him will pass him by. You get occupied with the affairs of the people, minding their business, your business will pass you by. And whoever becomes immersed in falsehood, they will become hardened and separated from the truth. Meaning the person who's engaged in falsehood, then there will be no place for them in that which, you know, the truth, what they should be engaged in. So the Shaykh says, Al-Imam Al-Khutabi says, فَكُنْ مَا النَّاسِ فِي الْخَيْرِ. So be with the people in that which is khair. Don't completely isolate, but be with the people in that which is khair. وَكُنْ بِمَعَزِلٍ عَنْهُمْ فِي الشَّرِّ, but separate yourself from them in evil. The people engaged in good, be with the people. People engaged in evil, separate from the people. This is the balance between completely isolating yourself or completely immersing yourself in the affairs of the dunya and the people. Be with the people in khair, separate the people in shar. And intend that you be with them, fihim shahidan kaghaib wa aliman kajahil. Yani make your intention that you will be with them shahidan kaghaib, that when you are present with them, it is like you are absent from them. Wa aliman kajahil, that even though you are have knowledge of something, you are like the one who doesn't know. Meaning that a person keep the balance between the people. Even though you are amongst them, you are not one of them. Meaning you are in the dunya, but you are not from the people of the dunya. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ. You are in the dunya, but you are like a stranger. You are like a person just passing through, a wayfarer, a traveler. You are not attached to it. Even though you are amongst them, you are not one of them. You are present with them, but you are like you are absent from them. And if they engage in good, then participate. If they engage in evil, it'd be like you're not even there. Separate from them. And this is part of what we wanted to present tonight. Wallahu musta'an. If there's any questions, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any questions until the adhan, inshallah. And if we run out of time, if there's any important questions after the adhan that's related to our topic, we'll take them, inshallah. Anybody have a question? Anything that we said that's not clear? Alhamdulillah, mashallah, it's clear. Then my advice to myself first and to all of us is that this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّهَا. He doesn't speak from desires, but whatever he says, it is revelation that is revealed to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's speech is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said by revelation, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدِ التَّقِي الْغَنِي الْخَفِي. That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not ijtihad from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That he just came up with himself. Sounds good. Rather, Allah revealed to him that he loves the worshipper who is taqi, observing Allah's commands and avoiding his prohibitions. Who is ghani, free of need of the people and content with what Allah has apportioned for him, what Allah has decreed for that person. Be content with it, be satisfied with it. And know that whatever Allah has decreed for you will come to you. It will not escape you. It cannot get away from you. And be khafi. Yani, try not to be seen, especially in your worship. Don't want to be heard. Don't want to be praised. Don't want to be out front. But if it is that Allah intends for that for you, Allah will make that happen. But don't seek it. Don't be desirous of it. And may Allah grant us, yani, the ability to examine these characteristics and to strive to achieve some degree of these characteristics in our lives. I'm not sure about the question, but it says when a child is born wretched, can he change on his own? I'm not sure if this is in reference to the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said when the child is in the womb of their mother, then Allah has written that the person will be Sa'idan or Shaqiyan. Yani Sa'idan will be happy. Or Shaqiyan will be wretched. Meaning, Sa'idan, happy means the person will be from the people of paradise. Wretched means the person who will be from the people of the hellfire. Allah already decreed that. If the question is in reference to that, nobody can change that. Because Allah knows what's going to happen. Allah didn't make that happen, but Allah knows what's going to happen. That this person is going to come into the world and they're not going to obey him. They're not going to believe in him. They're going to rebel. They're going to practice kufr. They're going to practice shirk. And they're going to be in the hellfire. That can't be changed. That's what Allah has decreed. But if you mean wretched, that a child is born in the world in a bad condition, of course a person can change that. Of course a person can change that. But nobody knows what Allah has decreed for them. So nobody should assume that I'm in a condition that can't be changed. Rather, a person should assume that Allah has commanded us to obey him and they should strive to obey him. Abdul Hakim, I'll take your question inshallah after Salat, okay? Because I think it must be time for the adhan, I assume. I don't know. Just about.